Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. This is supposed to be a time of holiday cheer, but for many it is anything but. We'll talk about the holiday intersection of happiness and depression a little bit later, but first, something that can make your holiday family get-togethers more fun and more interesting. That would be taking advantage of time together to gather families' histories and stories. It's something we recommend every year at this time with the co-founders of the Granny Annie Family Story Celebration Project, now observing its 10th anniversary. Every year they put out a book of stories collected in the past year, and the focus of that latest book is on stories young people collected about World War II. It's titled Echoes from World War II, Young Writers Sharing Family Stories. This year, Granny Annie is collaborating with the Missouri History Museum. Joining me for this segment are the co-founders of the Granny Annie Celebration, Connie McIntyre, who joins us from Colorado, and Fran Hamilton with us in studio. Also with us, Jody Sowell, the Director of Exhibitions and Research at the Missouri History Museum. And also in studio is Natalie Rose Schuver, a seventh grade student at Wydown Middle School, whose World War II era story, Sugar, Stamps, Bikes, and Metal, originally appeared in Volume 8 of the Granny Annie Collection. I thank you all so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thanks, Don. Thank it's you, good Don. To be here.
Thank you.
Connie, let me start with you. This is a big year for your organization, isn't it?
Absolutely. We're so excited to be celebrating our 10th anniversary. And as you mentioned, we've published a volume of family stories each year for the last 10 years. And this year, as a special celebration of our anniversary, we have produced a book called Echoes from World War II, Young Writers Sharing Family Stories. And there are 46 stories, family stories about World War II. These are all stories that have been published in the first 10 volumes of the Granny Annie, and we pulled them together into one volume, and let me tell you, it's a powerful little book. I'm just really pleased to be able to share these stories all in one collection.
Well, what's the age range of the collaborators in this?
Well, the authors of these stories have to be in grades 4 through 8 in order to submit to the Granny Annie. The illustrators are also in grades 4 through 8. Some of our stories were submitted by students from outside the country or from homeschool students, and those students are ages 9 to 14.
Fran, why World War II? It seems to me that's a very heavy subject for people in that age category.
Well, it is a heavy subject. In fact, that was kind of my thought at first, but it's been a popular topic over the years. Every year we've gotten a number of stories about World War II, and the stories are so varied. I mean, some of them are funny, some of them are very heavy. We have stories from 20 countries. The experiences took place in 20 countries around the world. So we have all different views of the war. We actually have stories that were written by authors in 17 states, plus India and Moldova. So it's truly a world book.
And for the age range of those authors for your various books, World War II would be just about right for the grandparents, wouldn't it?
Right.
And that would
right.
be probably the biggest event in many of their lives as well.
That's right.
Jody Sowell, let me turn to you. What is the History Museum's connection with the Granny Annie Project this year?
Sure. Well, we've oftentimes held events for the Granny Annie group at the museum. But this year, they were nice enough to ask me to write a foreword for the book. So I was very happy to do that. And at the Missouri History Museum, we're always interested in people engaging with history in different ways. And of course, family stories is one of the most powerful ways to engage with history.
Well, what sort of an exhibit is involved?
There's not actually an exhibit, so the book is a standalone book. But, you know, one thing that we have found and one thing that we talk about in exhibits all the time is research has shown that when people are asked, how do they get engaged with history? How do they find history interesting? Unfortunately, for some of us who teach, the place where they find history the least engaging, they say in these surveys, is the classroom. And you might imagine why. That's because it's history is a bunch of dates and people, and World War II is told as generals and troop movements. The place where people say they are most engaged with history is family reunions, family gatherings, because that's where they see the real people of history, the real emotion of history. That's why this book is so important, because it's getting young people to engage with history in that way.
There seems to be quite a movement in various parts of the country to do this these days.
Absolutely. I mean, people are recognizing that this is a powerful way to learn about history, as it was lived by people just like them.
Connie, are you finding a greater level of participation as the years go by?
Yes, that aspect of the Granny Annie continues to grow, which is really exciting, and we have some new plans this year that will involve reaching out even more and involving more students in learning something from their family's history. So that's another reason to celebrate 10 years of Family Story Collection. And I just wanted to throw in to the previous conversation about how do people get excited about history. We actually share a quote in the Echoes from World War II book from the author Rudyard Kipling. He's has been quoted as saying, "If history were taught in the form of stories, it would never be forgotten." And I think that's just really accents what we were already saying about how powerful a story can be, because you can relate to it on a personal level, and that makes it really resonate with you much more than just facts and information.
Fran Hamilton, this typically is the time of year when we've gotten together in the past when you're looking for new participation for the next year. Where are you in that process now?
Well, we hope that students are reading family stories and beginning to plan their interviews. I know that some classes have already done their interviews. We know of one class in particular where their assignment over Thanksgiving weekend is to interview someone from an older generation of their families. Then they come back, they write their story, polish their story, and then it's all ready to submit by the submission deadline of February 1st.
All righty. So,
but the interviewing and finding the stories can really enrich the holiday experience for the entire family.
Well, this is a key time of year. You've got Christmas and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa. A lot of people will be getting together.
Right.
Yeah.
They might have a chance to get stories from people that they don't happen to see every day.
Yeah. Well, let's turn now to our young star, Natalie Rose Schuver. Natalie, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Let me ask you about your involvement in this. Was it difficult for you to talk to a grandparent about their personal history?
No, I've been familiar with the history, and I just kind of asked him a few questions.
How did you get involved? How did you find out about this whole thing?
My friend Belle, she told me about this, and we wrote our stories together with the help of her mom.
Right, and this was a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
How long an interview did you have? It was your grandfather, correct?
Yes.
How long an interview did you have?
I would say about an hour.
Well, that should be enough time to gather quite a bit of information. And I also happen to know that your story is a little bit on the lighter side. When we're talking about World War II, so much of it is pretty grim, but yours is on the lighter side, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to read it for us?
Sure. Sugar, Stamp, Spikes, and Metal.
Before you start, let's just establish that this happened here in St. Louis mm-hmm. when 1942, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
I was 8. It was the time of World War II. This is the story of 1 week of my life when my country, the United States, was fighting. My name is Alcee Walk. If I had written a diary, this is how it might have read. July 1st, 1942. Today, my friends and I collected metal. We knocked on doors of the houses in our neighborhood. We asked for anything metal, chicken wire, tin cans, or aluminum foil from gum wrappers, which we saved in balls till they were large enough to be collected. Then a truck drove by, and we put all the metal in the truck. The truck driver takes the metal to a collection site, from where it's used to build tanks, ships, planes, and bombs for the war that's going on. My friends and I plan to do this every day until the war stops. July 4th, 1942. What's really a problem is that most of the metal our country has is being used for weapons, not for cars. So my parents can't buy a car, even though they want to. Also, we are also allowed to buy a certain amount of food, because the government is sending most food to the soldiers. We use food stamps to buy meat, tea, cheese, and sugar. Once our food stamps are gone, we cannot buy that food anymore. I'm craving a big, meaty, delicious steak. Ugh. July 3rd, 1942. Today, my mom sent me to the store with a sugar stamp to buy sugar. I couldn't wait to taste my mom's brownies. I was on the way skipping when the stamp fell down the concrete sidewalk. I didn't notice I had dropped the stamp, so I kept skipping down to the store to get the sugar. I walked down the aisle and pulled the sugar down. I happily walked to the checkout and waited. The clerk said, "Where's your stamp?" I reached to the pocket and it wasn't there. "I'm sure I had it," I cried, but the clerk said no, so I sadly put back the sugar and walked home with my head down. I told my mom my story, and I guess that's the end of brownies. July 4th, 1942. Today is the day I'm old enough to ride a bicycle. It's my birthday. But all the metal has been used for weapons, so I thought I wouldn't get one. But then Grandpa Dave found somebody to make a bicycle for me out of used bicycle parts. Grandpa Dave is a little worried that it won't hold up, but I'm not. I love my new one tricycle, and I'm excited to get outside and show my friends. That's a week of my ordinary life during World War II. Now I'm a grandfather myself. And I just bought my granddaughter a new pink bike, and I told her these stories, which she has written here.
Thank you so much. That's Natalie Rose Schuver reading a story that she wrote a couple of years ago after an interview with your granddad. Connie, this fairly typical story?
I don't think I could say that any Granny Annie story is a typical story. That's what's so fascinating. Every story is unique, and there's a surprise in every story.
What, Fran?
One thing that is especially unique about this story is that it was written in the form of a diary. It's the only story that we've gotten so far that was written that way. There are a lot of ways that stories vary. Sometimes the author takes the role of first person and writes from the point of view of the person being interviewed. Or sometimes they frame the story with, as Natalie kind of did here, with a little bit at the beginning and at the end, and then more of the story in the middle. But hers was in the form of a diary.
Natalie, why did you decide to do it that way?
I decided to try it as the young mind of my grandfather.
Uh-huh. Did you have any trouble trying to interpret that young mind from a gentleman, I'm sure, that is considerably older than some of us?
Not really. His interview kind of gave me some.
What did he think of the story?
He loved it.
I'll bet he did. Let's take a break now. We'll come back and continue our discussion. We're talking about the importance of gathering family stories, and we're talking about the Granny Annie Family Story Celebration, which every year we get together and we talk about that importance. And this year we're talking about a special book they're putting out on their 10th anniversary. And this book deals with stories that youngsters have collected from grandparents in most cases, involving World War II. We'll be back and continue the conversation in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back to our conversation with Connie McIntyre and Fran Hamilton, the founding directors of the Granny Annie Family Story Celebration. Jody Sowell is with us, director of exhibitions and research at the Missouri History Museum, and Natalie Rose Schuver, seventh grade student at Wydown Middle School. You just heard the story that she wrote that is included in this year's Family Story Celebration, Echoes from World War II, Young Writers Sharing Family Stories. That's a book that is just out. Where and how is that available?
It's available from Left Bank Books. There are copies there now, and it's available from the Granny Annie website, and it will be available from Amazon.com.
Uh-huh. And it's hot off the presses.
Very hot.
Jody, let me turn to you and talk about the importance of what we've just heard. Natalie over here reading the story, she's learned something about the history of an era that seems, I'm sure, very, very distant to her. What is the importance of young people getting involved?
Well, I tell you what I love about Natalie's story is it's easy to think of World War II as something that happened across the oceans, right? Somewhere distant. It's maps in a textbook, but it affects everyone. And so these sort of big historical moments, it's oftentimes hard to think of them in personal ways. And what Natalie has done by interviewing her grandfather and having this great great story is finding those connections. So she knows what it's like to want a bike, and she knows what it's like to want a good dinner. And these are stories that her grandfather was able to relate to her and to be able to connect her to the past in a different way, in a way that's oftentimes hard for young people to get. But one of the easiest ways is for them to talk to the people in their own home or the people in their own family.
And she also relates and discusses things that happened in the war that people generally don't talk about. I mean, I hate to say it, but I remember collecting tinfoil and things like that for the war effort.
Absolutely. So that's one of the best things about these kind of oral histories is really completing the historical record. Historians can only include so much in their books and oftentimes leave out those personal stories that, again, can really make history come to life. And I'll tell you, it's also important from the other side, which is the people who have these histories inside of them and who have these stories inside of them desperately want to share them, but oftentimes are not asked. I do oral histories in my own work at the Missouri History Museum. I will talk to people who have the most fascinating stories, and then at the end of the interviews, they will say, I don't think anyone in my family is interested in hearing these. For young people to come to their grandparents and parents and say, I want to hear what stories you have, there may be nothing more important.
Connie McIntyre, how many times over the course of the years that you've been doing this have you heard people say, I really regret that I didn't ask more questions of my parents or grandparents when I had the chance?
Connie? I'm sorry. Oh, my goodness. We hear that all the time. It's just such a common thread through all of this. And so many parents have thanked us for bringing this idea of asking questions of older family members, for bringing that into their family through their children, because it has moved them forward. And kind of the opposite of what you just said has happened a number of times also, in that people have contacted us to say, my father or mother just passed, and we are so thankful that we have these stories that our children collected because of the Granny Annie, and they just appreciate that so much. It's interesting. It's something we all share. We all have a history within our families, and yet it's so easy not to talk about it. One of the stories we have included in Echoes from World War II were written by students from the country of Moldova, and it was facilitated. The project was facilitated by a Peace Corps volunteer who was aware of the Granny Annie, and he told us that it was the same situation there, that even in this little village in Moldova, where many of the grandparents lived next door or in the same small village with these young people, and they knew them very well, but they just had never thought to ask their grandparents about what was it like during World War II, what happened in our family, how were we affected by that. And it opened up a whole new area of conversation for those students as well. So it's kind of a universal phenomenon, I think, that sometimes we need a little encouragement to ask those questions before it's too late to get answers.
Sure. Fran Hamilton, what is the importance from your perspective of this collaboration you're having with the History Museum?
Well, first of all, the stories are history, and it's just important to have that opportunity to reach more people through the History Museum.
Sure.
And just see where it leads. There's going to be an event in March with homeschool families, an opportunity for the students to do some interviewing or some writing, and I'm not sure yet exactly how it's going to work, but I understand it's going to happen.
But the momentum is underway.
Right.
Natalie, I want to turn back to you, because you spent an hour with your grandfather getting the information for the story. Did that kind of pique your curiosity about learning more about his time, the time of World War II, and perhaps beyond that, and his growing up and that sort of thing?
Yeah, it did. And then the other stories also piqued that too.
The other stories that are included in the book,
mm-hmm.
that from your time. What was the most important thing you learned, do you think, from this conversation?
I guess war affects everyone.
Well, that's true. Simply put, but that's certainly true.
I think one thing that's important about Echoes from World War II from the reader's point of view is that today I think it's very easy for us, even though there are a lot of wars going on in the world, they seem far away from a lot of us. And World War II, as Jody mentioned earlier, really affected everyone. You did not need to be directly involved in the conflict or even be living where the conflict was taking place to be affected. Here, people in America were experiencing shortages, experiencing separations from their loved ones. Some children had to leave their homes and live with other relatives because their parents were away at war or things like that. And we have stories about that in the book as well. So I think it's important for today's young people to see how war can affect the whole world.
That's an important thing for them to understand. The more that do, the better. You have a story that you are prepared to read for us. Why don't we listen to that now? What is basically your story?
My story is titled Saved by the Blink of a Statue's Eye. This took place between 1942 and 1944 in Mosiska, Poland. And it was written by Yakov Wretches in Maryland. Had a lot of coaching on pronunciation just this morning. Close your eyes and imagine having to live in a small, dirty, bug-infested hole in the ground with seven other people for 2 years. My grandfather lived in Mosiska, Poland in the 1930s. His name was Mark Wretches. He had a brother named Henry, who is my great uncle. Their parents, Clara and Saul Wretches, were my great grandparents, and this is their story. In the fall of 1942, the Germans decided it was time to free Mosiska of all Jews. My great grandmother knew the Germans were coming and that she had to make a game plan. She went to her neighbors who had a farm and asked if her neighbor's family could hide them. The neighbors said, "We have to ask our mom, and she will get back to you next week." My great-grandmother knew there was no time and that she needed to have an answer right away. She ran home. The next day, she layered herself with her furry, warm coats. She was going to use the coats to bribe the people to let them stay. When she got there, she asked the girls if she could speak to their mother right away. The mother, Rosalia, said, "As a good Christian, I want to do the right thing. I stayed up all night and prayed to the Virgin Mary for advice. When the eyes of the statue blinked at me, I knew that the Virgin Mary was telling me I had to hide you." There were two other people, a brother and a sister, who found out that my family was going to be hidden and insisted they come along in order to survive. The brother owned a watch store, and he said it was going to come in handy. On the way to the farm, they were caught by soldiers. The brother rolled up his sleeves and bribed the soldiers with the watches. The soldiers said, "Go with God," and let them continue on. By the time the beautiful sun rose, they had all made it safely to the farm, no Germans in sight. Rosalia did not know where she could hide them. My great-grandmother insisted that she could dig a hole in the barn. That is how the 2 years in the hole began. There were eight people that lived in the hole: my great-grandparents, my grandfather, my great-uncle, my other great-grandmother, Rivka Gerber, my other great-uncle, Mordecai Gerber, and the neighbors who were brother and sister. They suffered in the cramped, dark hole. They could only sit, not stand. The bathroom was a bucket that was emptied every night. Sometimes it wasn't safe to empty it, so they left it, and the smell was unbelievably bad. After almost 2 years, in July of 1944, the Russians marched into Mosiska and freed the Jews. They freed Mosiska of German control. All eight people that were hiding survived this horrific experience.
Well, that's the worst of that era, certainly. Natalie, what do you think of that story?
I think that's very sad, but I'm also pretty glad they didn't have a worse experience with concentration camps and stuff like that.
You know, we had as guests on this program about a year ago two brothers, one of whom lives in Chesterfield, who lived that kind of life. They lived in a hole in the ground in a barn in the shadow of Auschwitz, and they were there for a long period of time. A baby was born in that hole in the ground at that particular time. Very, very emotional time, certainly, very much like this story. We have to pretty much wind it down now. Jody, do you want to put a bottom line on your part of all of this?
Well, I just want to say that's an incredibly dramatic story that brings history to life, but everyone has a story. So even if your grandparents did not live through World War II, or maybe you don't know what the dramatic stories are, all of your family members have a fascinating story, and this is a great kind of model for getting those stories down and building relationships that are even stronger than you can imagine.
Well put. Fran?
That's exactly what I would have said, that everybody has a story. That's one reason we don't have a theme for our annual books, because if we had a theme, somebody might have a great family story that didn't fit our theme, and we wouldn't get it. We want everybody to have something to write about.
And Fran, do you have a bottom line, a final comment? Connie, I'm sorry.
Oh, yes, just to repeat what we said earlier and just reminding people that the holidays are a wonderful time to, a wonderful opportunity to speak to other older members of the family and find out some of those family stories. And not to shy away from the difficult stories, but also to appreciate the stories that might be lighter and might bring some laughter to the family holiday table.
And finally, Natalie, is there a final thought you have? Anything you'd like to say?
Family is the most important, and I agree that you should meet up with them, share stories. And
well, congratulations to you for having done it and done it so well.
Thank you.
Very, very nicely done. We'll remind everybody that we've been talking about the Granny Annie Family Story Celebrations book just out, Echoes from World War II, Young Writers Sharing Family Stories. We'll have more information on how you can acquire a copy on our website at stlpublicradio.org. So I want to thank Connie McIntyre, Fran Hamilton from the Granny Annie Family Story Celebration, Natalie Rose Schuver, thank you for being with us, and Jody Sell. Great to see you again from the History Museum. Coming up, this is, of course, the holiday season. We'll talk about its effect on happiness and depression. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.